Let's, on this 30th day of November, take a look at the agricultural futures from Chicago. We'll talk today with, of course, Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Todd. How are you today?
Oh, I'm really good. As we started our conversation just before the show, you said, oh, things finished up better than they were part of the day.
Isn't it terrible when you live your life by the hour, Todd?
No, sometimes by the minute, I think, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yeah, I always have to watch the numbers. How far down did the beans go today?
Well, we got down to the 1429 level in the January. It didn't do any chart damage at all, thankfully, and we were able to get back up to the 1440 level. Best news about the beans today was the January-July spread came around to positive and held on to some very nice support levels and sets us up for a buy signal next week if we can continue this technical pattern that we finished out the week with. And it really was nice to see that, especially because the cash market finally helped support the trade psychology, because we saw a big boost in Gulf basis in beans this morning. 16 cents better. We're running about $1.06 over the January for Dease delivery, and we're seeing the drought issue and the Mississippi River closure start to play out, because Cincinnati bean bids jumped 20 cents this morning, with origin starting to shift over to the Ohio River around the Cincinnati Evansville area, trying to bypass that St. Louis to Cairo area that might be shut down.
So I'm assuming some of this will be temporary, and they're trying to figure out when that pass from Cairo to St. Louis will be shut down because of very low water levels, and they won't be able to make it through because of some rock formations there. Should happen, I'm told, as early as December 10th, but by the 15th maybe of this month. And that's popped the bean basis. And I assume they're just trying to get beans now.
Yes, exactly. But that's a healthy sign, because we saw Cincinnati jump 20, and that was met with a Gulf jump of about 16 cents. So it does look like real export business. And they're not saying, bring it to me before the river shuts down. They're saying, bring it to me, and I'm going to get it from another part of the river. So kind of a nice thing to see to close out the week, and I think it really helped the spread out.
Yeah, thank you for making it to the question before, because I couldn't come up with it, but I knew where I was headed.
It's tough. You know, we haven't been dealing with these things for a very long time. I think I read this week that we have not been this low, or potentially this low, by, you, as you say, December 10th. I think it was January 1940, the last time we were negative 6 feet at St. Louis on the Mississippi. So you and I were way before our time, sir.
Yeah, and even in 88, I wasn't all that old. So.
You and me both.
I'm a lot older now. Okay, so the bean has popped. You really think that fundamentally there's fresh exports in that system, and China is going to continue to need to import beans from the United States for a while yet?
Yeah, I think these last 2 weeks have shown us pretty clearly that China may be deferring some of their bean demand over into the products, because we've heard about how bad their crushing margins are domestically, and we've seen a real pickup in their bean oil demand. And one of the things that really saved us from the bean export sales for the week being so ugly was the tremendous meal export sales. And so I think they're probably, if they're not buying the beans or not going to buy beans, they're going to come in and probably buy the products, and I think that helps bolster our domestic crushing basis and keeps the beans in essentially keeps the beans in the demand mindset, as opposed to a weakening demand mindset.
So the interior prices should be as good as maybe along the rivers, then, I would think.
I think that's exactly right. If you're talking about areas that can get it to the Ohio River, you know, people in South Dakota, eastern Iowa, northwestern Illinois, they may be the ones that suffer from the St. Louis to Cairo shutdown. But crushing margins right now are still running around 39 to 40 cents all the way out to next September, so that's still pretty good.
About the corn market for the day?
Corn market did well as well. We actually closed higher for the week thanks to the last 5 minutes of trade. Dease futures held its 50-day moving average support, even with a real big steep decline in the wheat, and the wheat trying to lead the corn lower, and the spread between the wheat and the corn getting back to major support of right around $1 a bushel. Looks like we're going to close that actually at 96 and three quarters now that the settlements are in. So we're at the very bottom of about the three-month trading range for the wheat corn spread. I just don't buy into this weaker wheat market, and the fact that wheat was one of the, if not the major leader to the downside, given what the 8 to 14 day forecast said yesterday, looking at the new drought monitor yesterday, and then looking at the 6 to 10 day models this afternoon, which continue to say you're not going to get any rains out there in Nebraska, Kansas, or Oklahoma.
Hey, did you see the note from Lockie Stevens, who we had on last week from Australia? And I don't know whether I forwarded this to you or not. After the show, and this might explain some of this, so bear with me just a bit, that he thought Australian farmers very shortly would be selling into the marketplace almost everything that's coming out of the field, simply because it's not in very good shape.
Right.
And that that would put some temporary pressure in the wheat futures in Chicago. I don't know whether that's what happened today or whether you have an idea of what's happening, but does that help make sense of things?
I think it helps support the idea that, unfortunately, Asia is still buying feed wheat as a substitute for the corn right now.
But yeah, I think India.
I'm sorry?
From India?
Yeah, India and probably now Australia. But I think the key is that those two are going to be short-term in nature. And I think the nicest thing we saw in the wheat market was the fact that Germany is going to be supplying Brazil, and Brazil usually buys about 80% of their wheat from Argentina. So you've got a real supply constriction not only in the Black Sea, and you've not only got our drought here, but now you're starting to see South America tighten up. So I think there's a 30-day window where that Australian issue and the Indian issue can hurt us or not allow the wheat to rally as much as it should, but I don't think it can last much longer than 30 days given what kind of supplies they do have.
Do we know anything about the Argentine wheat crop as it comes out of the field? Because I think it should be at this point, but it's been awfully wet and there's usually a lot of disease that comes along with that.
Yeah, I think they've had some harvest delays. I think the disease problems are there. I think the quality issues are there. I think if I remember right, there's not much more than 20% harvested the last time I looked, so it's early yet, but I think that does become and present an issue. What I'm picking up from the Argentine side is what they have they're going to probably need to hold on to domestically and keep for themselves, and I think that especially brings in, you know, your talk about the Australian and Indian wheat is especially pertinent, I think, at the close today here, because Egypt came out just right after the close and said we're seeking U.S. soft white wheat and soft red wheat. Numbers aren't as big as we'd like to see, but the fact that Egypt's coming in and specifically asking for U.S. wheat says, okay, these other countries are tight enough and our prices are competitive enough, they want to start buying from us again.
Why were the livestock markets weak today?
I think the cattle market, and this is a fascinating statistic, but the cattle market for the whole month, front-end futures, could only close up a dollar for the whole month. And what happened, I think, Todd, was we had a $3 lower price in Kansas for the cash trade at the end of the week. I think that really deflated the mindset and the trade psychology. And when we went through the 200-day moving average in the D's fast, it looked like we just really tripped some stops. So only about a dollar higher for the whole month of November.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget about Commodity Week. We'll post that to our website this evening about 6 o'clock Central Time, USA. You can pick it up at WILLAG.org.